Mental health has taken a front seat in our public narrative lately, and that's a good thing. But the questions are real. Will this pandemic mentally destabilize many in our population? The news itself is like a virus. Are President Trump's predictions real of suicides by the thousands if coronavirus should devastate our economy? Now this we know. The mind is more subject to infection, more allergic to virus, disease, and fever than any other part of us. History recalls the scenes of stadiums in Germany, where a silly-looking house painter from Austria stood before huge crowds and whipped them into an emotional frenzy until the famous Hitler took control of the minds of what Churchill called wonderful, scientific, intelligent, docile, valiant people. Can it happen again? Oh, yes, and quicker than you realize. We are under the spell of voices, millions of them, and a blizzard of false information from a thousand platforms. We are no longer thinking for ourselves. And oh, yes, the contagion is real. We've watched intelligent people hoarding supplies, knowing not why, with no forecast of shortage. Mass error metastasizes that way. Now, Paul didn't always understand what it meant to be a prisoner of thought patterns, of a dictated world system. He felt rigorous university training and postgraduate work had sufficiently inoculated him. But his mind had been conditioned, and his conduct reflected his thought pattern. I persecuted the church. I did it ignorantly, in unbelief. But then he met Jesus, and he discovered that the truth is the antidote for error. So he told Timothy to preach the word. Sir, lady, you never experience a liberated mind until you meet Jesus. I am the truth. You find answers in him. The cobwebs disappear. Destiny becomes clearer by the day. You are alive with human dignity and immortality. You enjoy the moment with an assurance that the future will be better than the past. The liberated mind lives in hope. And that's one word that captures the title of today's message by Pastor Fred Penny. It's the old, old story. We invite you to stay here for the next 30 minutes. Krista Noble, a gospel artist from Deer Lake, will join us again today. Now let's hear this great anthem, In Christ Alone, as Philip Bailey leads us.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of
We encourage you to visit our new website, oldoldstory.ca, and there you can browse through some of the history of this broadcast, whose beginnings now predate many of us. You'll be able to listen to some of the songs sung back, way back from the early 50s until now. You'll find a place where you can offer financial support for this radio ministry that reaches thousands each week. The information is all there, and there's a place where you can leave a comment or a prayer request. Even just an indication that you're with us each week would be an encouragement for us and would mean more than you realize. That's oldoldstory.ca. We're conscious, especially last week and again now, of how we need divine help in this time in such a very special way. And so we're taking time and invite you as well to take time for a moment of quiet prayer and reflection right now, as Valerie Penny is here again to lead us in prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Through your invitation to come and have relationship with you, we pause right now in this day to sit at your feet, to look into your eyes, and to recognize your incredible love for us. So that just as a child who is frustrated and tantruming needs to be called by his mother to look into her eyes. And so, Father, in the midst of this change, in the midst of this global crisis, we stop and we look squarely to the eyes of the creator of this universe, and it calms our soul. The disciples felt that way when Jesus was leaving his earthly ministry, and yet he said to them, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so, Father, I thank you for your abiding presence with each one this morning. Father, we ask that you would comfort those that need comfort, that you would heal those that need healing, and protect all of us within the sound of this broadcast from the effects of this COVID-19 virus. But more than that, Father, more than protecting us and our own, we think of this world that you've created. We lift before you all of our global workers who have stayed in the field and who are helping their national partners, Lord, to navigate this scene. We pray for your mercy on each one of them. We pray for those who have lost loved ones. We ask for your grace to be with them and your mercy. We pray for our leaders across this country, Lord, and in this province, that you would grant them direction and peace and, yes, even rest in the midst of the crisis, Lord. We ask for our leaders and pastors of our churches, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and guidance, Lord. Father, we realize that our lives have slowed down in terms of what we can and cannot do. But Lord, we have so much opportunity to talk with you. And so, Father, I pray that we would be able to redeem these quiet hours in communion with you, for you're only a breath away. And Father, we pray that you would work all things out for your honor and for your purposes. We are humbled to be on mission with you, Lord, to be invited to partner with you in what you are doing around us and around this world. And so, Father, teach us to pray, teach us to use our time, and teach us to know what to do as life has changed for this week. We give it to you and your purposes. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you, Valerie. The subject of today's message will be hope. Now, if hope is nothing more than wishful thinking, then this existence here is nothing more than a stutter, a temporary gasp, an expendable interlude on a road to eventual annihilation. We need something more than positive thought. Hope needs an anchor, and the anchor is in the resurrection. It's the shout of triumph that reverberates right out of the pages of the New Testament. It's so good to have Krista Noble back on the program with us today. Krista is a gospel artist from Deer Lake, and she's been with us before, and back again now to sing a song for us that takes us right to the heart of that theme in such a beautiful way. It's called Forever.
The moon and stars, they wept. The morning sun was dead. The Savior of the world was fallen. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. final breath you gave, as heaven looked away, the Son of God was laid in darkness. A battle in the grave, the war on death was waged, the power of hell forever broke. To shake, the stones rolled away. His perfect love could not be overcome. Now, death, where is your sting? Our resurrected King has rendered you defeated. Forever He is glorious.
Sing.
Thank you, Krista Noble, for singing that great song of celebration that gives us all so much reason to hope. And thank you again for joining us today. Our understanding of the term hope is synonymous with wishful thinking, maybe even luck. Now, that misses the New Testament definition by a million miles, where there it's associated with such terms as steadfast, sure, anchor of the soul. It appears as a legal binding contract confirmed by an oath by God himself who cannot lie. It says it's sealed with a deposit. Hope is the theme, and here now is your radio pastor, Pastor Fred Penny.
Good morning, Radio Church. This is Pastor Fred Penny from Elam Pentecostal Tabernacle here in St. John's, Newfoundland. I welcome you today as we open God's Word. We are looking today at Romans chapter 8. As the world endures and experiences this pandemic, we want to look at the Word of God and find hope for the future and hope for the present reality we find ourselves in. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 begins this way. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. I'll stop the reading right there. I want to talk to you today about overwhelming hope. Where do we find hope in these days? We find them in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may have read the book by Victor Hugo called Les Miserables. There's a song in the musical version called I Dreamed the Dream. I'd like to read a few lines from that song, I Dreamed the Dream. I dreamed the dream in days gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. Then I was young and unafraid, and dreams were made and used and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid, no song unsung, no wine untasted. And then as the song goes along, we read these words. I had a dream my life would be so different from this hell I'm living. So different now from what it seemed. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. What sad words. Life has killed the dream. I'm experiencing a living hell, this song comments. What a lament. And what an interesting commentary it is on modern life now in the 21st century as the entire world is in the grip of a pandemic. Well, here in Romans chapter 8, Paul gives us an explanation of what's going on in the world. And I want to give you four words. The four words are these: hurting, hoping, helping, and healing. Hurting, hoping, helping, and healing. Right now, the world is hurting, and the world actually has always been hurting since the fall of mankind, as we read about in Genesis chapter 3. The world is hurting today. That's obvious to everyone. But secondly, we are all hoping for a better future. We're hoping for things to improve and for the pandemic to be eliminated and for a vaccine to be found. In between the waiting and in the midst of the hurting, the Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit is helping us. And then finally, there's a day of healing coming at the return of Christ. This world and everyone in it is going to be healed. And the curse of sin is going to be broken. And the kingdom of God is going to come in all of its fullness. So I want to share with you today a word from Romans chapter 8 that gives us a perspective and an understanding on the current reality that the world is experiencing. Let me repeat what I said now. The world is hurting. We are all hoping for a better future. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And finally, at the return of Christ, there is healing coming for this broken world in which we find ourselves. Praise the Lord for the goodness of the gospel. Now, so here as we read verses 18 down to verse 21, we read about the fallenness that the world is suffering under. In verse 19, Paul says this, "The creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." The creation refers to the planet the system of life here on planet Earth. And Paul almost personifies the planet. He says that the planet or the creation is groaning, waiting for the day of its liberation. And so in verse 22, he says, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time, right up to 2020. So we live in a fallen world, and because of that, the world is hurting, people are hurting, disease runs rampant, death is everywhere. Hardships of life are everywhere. But in verse 18, to go back there now, Paul gives us hope, and here's what he says. Our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. This is referring to the return of Christ and the reign of Christ and the establishment of the kingdom of God. That is the glory of God being revealed in us, the people of God. And we are waiting, and the creation where we live here on planet Earth is also waiting for the return of Christ, and the hurting brokenness of this planet will be overcome. In the meantime, we live by this hope. Paul says here now, while we wait for the return of Christ, there's a longing, there's a groaning that we have. He says in verse 23 here, we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. This is the hope that we have. We're going to be brought into the fullness of our adoption. Our bodies are going to be redeemed. This is the hope. This is the promise we have. And this hope sustains us and carries us forward. Do you realize that the body you have now, of course, ages, it breaks down, it gets sick, it gets tired, it's prone to disease, it's prone to viruses. But one day, this body that we have is going to be redeemed, which means we're going to get a body that is not subject to viruses and sickness, disease, death, and aging. We're going to get a renewed body. Our bodies are going to be redeemed and transformed at the return of Christ. This is an amazing thought. Now, thirdly, Paul says, while we recognize that the world is hurting, and while we live by hope for a better tomorrow, the return of Christ, in the meantime, Paul says, we get some help. And the help comes in the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, our government has been generous, is planning to help people with the economic stress, loss of employment, loss of income. The government of Canada is going to give out billions of dollars to help us through this. And this is very important and very necessary. But there's more to us than our bank account. There's more to us than putting food on the table. We need the help of the Holy Spirit because we are spiritual beings. We are people who are built and made for a relationship with our Creator. And so Paul says now, this is a very important phrase. In verse 23, he says, we have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, which means this. First fruits is another word for down payment. We have a down payment of our future inheritance in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and abides within the life of the Christian, and he is our helper. He helps us to pray. That's mentioned now down in verse 26. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for. The Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So the Holy Spirit helps us. He gives us wisdom. He gives us grace. He gives us patience. He gives us faith. He helps us to pray. We have the joy and the peace of God in our hearts, even when the world seems upside down, because we have presence of God abiding within us in the person of the Holy Spirit. The world is hurting. We are hoping. The Holy Spirit is helping us, especially when it comes to prayer, especially when it comes to grace, especially when it comes to wisdom and decision making. And then fourthly, healing. The whole world is going to be healed. You see, the world is dealing with a lot of problems right now. The world is a complicated place. It always has been. The intersection of politics and economics and corruption and greed and natural disasters, tornadoes and earthquakes, storms, all of these things mean that we need the world in which we live to be healed and to be made better. And that is going to happen at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Archbishop Desmond Tutu once said this. He said, I'm not merely an optimist. And as Christians, we're not just people who are, positive thinkers. We're not people who are naive. naively optimistic. Desmond Tutu says this. He says, I'm not merely an optimist. He says, I'm a person of hope. In fact, he says, I am a prisoner of hope. What a beautiful phrase that is, to be a prisoner of hope. J.I. Packer once said this, you could speak of Jesus rising from the grave as the most hopeful thing that has ever happened, and you would be right. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 is a benediction verse, and I would like to read it for us. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me read that verse one more time. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me invite you, if you have not yet invited Jesus into your heart, if you've not yet experienced his joy and his peace, if you do not yet have the hope that we find in the Gospels, I would invite you today to pray a simple prayer, a simple but a sincere prayer that says this, Lord, I want to put my hope and trust in you. All around me, I see things failing and breaking down, and I need to put God at the center of my life, not just on the fringes, not just on the margins of my life, but God, I need you to be at the very center of my life. And so I repent of my sins. I give you my brokenness. I give you my past. I give you my mistakes. I lay it all down before you at the cross. I ask you to come into my life and transform me and save me and fill me with your hope. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You've been tuned to The Old, Old Story. We encourage you to go to our website, oldoldstory.ca, and there you can leave your comments, your prayer requests. You can tune into this broadcast again or some other. Now, this service has proclaimed hope. Friend, it's a fatal moment when we turn the lights out. We have no hope. You stumble in delirium. You're nothing but the walking dead. We need hope for living as much as we need it for dying. Dying is easy compared to living. That's only a transition. But living is a transaction of years. Without living in hope, life is a drag. It can become a burden too heavy to lug. But this hope that we have proclaimed today, anchored in Jesus, anchored in an oath that God has sworn to keep to you. It's the adrenaline of the Spirit. It's the mystery that baffles the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the impulse toward righteousness. He that has this hope purifies himself. It's the light that shines through the believer, motivates like nothing else. It produces a spiritual energy. It's the engine of the soul. You enjoy the dynamic. Friend, the same Christ who showed power over death is now, or can be now, your Christ. Don't entertain the blahs any longer. Don't look toward nothingness. You were never meant to race toward ashes. Sir, lady, hear this. If God raised up Jesus from the dead, he can lift you out of hopelessness, discouragement, despair, and even disaster. And he can do it now. So Ivan Butler again reminding you to affirm with us and so many others and spread the word this week with confidence and conviction that his grace will be sufficient for you.